Smiling Faces, the podcast, is a proud member of the Defiantly Me Productions. To learn more about Defiantly Me Productions, visit Instagram at Defiantly Me Productions.
I did go to a second class with him as the coach, and redeemably, he saw me lifting and said, "Oh, Jess, we got to add way more weight to that." I'm like, "Correct. I've been doing this for a while." And he was like, "I can tell you have fast snatch." I was like, "I'm sorry, what?"
You're like, I do. I got the fastest snatch in all the land.
Welcome back to episode 16 of Smiling Faces, the podcast. I'm Victoria Dunn.
And I'm Jess Anguiano. We are the executive producers of Smiling Faces, our hit TV show about two girls who discover they're dating the same guy while working at a toxically positive spin studio.
On this podcast, we provide you with unfiltered conversations about dating, heartbreak, revenge, and of course, living your best life.
And boy, howdy, are they unfiltered.
Yeah. Also, I was going to do a slight correction corner right up top because it's not a hit yet, but it will be a hit.
Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Yes, ma'am. I did some tweaking to our intro because it is a hit. It's already a hit.
I was like, yeah. Oh, Jess is time traveling. Got it.
I was watching TikTok and a very fashionable and a deep-rooted Black woman told me all about how if I just say it, then it will happen. And she just said, go full DeLulu. And I said, I'm here for it. It's February. My health has been wavering. I am here for delusion because it's the reason I get out of bed in the morning. Okay. So we have a hit television show. And we actually do have a hit television show. That is true.
We've got a hit in our midst. We do.
We also, just how haven't. You, oh, go ahead. Yes.
Are you enjoying being back on TikTok?
Oh, thank God. I'm so glad.
I needed it until it was gone.
Missed TikTok so bad. I was like starting to look at YouTube Shorts, which is a whole different learning curve and nowhere near as user friendly.
No.
I missed her. She missed me. All my friends, all of the things I follow, the algorithm was still there. Henry Cavill was still popping up just like he should be in all the right bare necessities. And I was so happy to have her back. She's such a warm, welcoming place. My algorithm is perfected. Yeah.
Oh, mine is very specific. We'll get into it later, but mine picked up right where I left off with all things Lively and Baldoni.
Oh, we'll get into that later.
It was like, we know you've been curious. Don't worry, we got you.
You know what? You know what's interesting? I know that we're talking about our show, and it's time for some updates in regards to that as it is. However, I do believe we'd be remiss if we don't discuss what kind of went down with Blake and Justin. And there's so much more drama, but never forget, at the very core of this, and Victoria and I definitely discussed this earlier, the very core of this is this man started a movement trying to create a safer space for men to be men. I think that his podcast is called Man Enough.
It is.
He's very passionate. Yeah, he's very passionate about creating a safer world for everyone, safer for men, safer for women. And he's probably done some stuff. That's why Blake and him are at it. However,
he admits it. Yeah, but that was his past also. He's done TED Talks on it.
Exactly. And this is my point of view on this, bringing it back to our show. What definitely happened is Blake Lively came on board and took over control just because of the power that she has with her star power. She took over control of his show, of his passion project, of his film, made an edit, rammed it down everybody's throats. And now that whole can of worms is open.
It's so
bad. It's a whole mess.
Yeah, we talked about it offline and we're kind of equating it to if we got some star,
attached onto the show. And then once it came out, or it not even came out, in the process of making it after all these years of developing it and doing the work writing and building up an audience and doing all this stuff, if someone pops in that's a star name and all of a sudden starts having tons of input and starts taking over and undermining every decision that was made leading up to it, and then is going, oh, I want final control over the clothing, over the edit, I'm going to have the cast turn against you. The way I would lose my mind. I get why Justin, which I love him because
love him.
He's such a soft soul of a person. But I think what's crucial is, which I don't think anyone accounted for, he has a bulldog of a lawyer and his production company is shared and really financially uplifted by a billionaire. And I feel like they didn't clock that. So he's got resources to defend himself.
I actually didn't clock that either. I didn't know that he was like hand in hand with the billionaire. And that's the other thing. When you look at what this man has done, the receipts that he can come forward with saying, I have done this work. I have done this work as a man and risen to the occasion and spoke about my flaws and my faults and how I need to be better. And then now to be accused of pretty much the most heinous crime that someone in that work can be accused of.
Totally.
This tears down his entire career. And let's never forget, this man is very driven, like a bulldog of a lawyer for sure. But he's also a bulldog because he was nobody. He was a love interest on Jane the Virgin. Nobody knew who this man was.
Like there were like people kind of knew, but yeah, this was his big debut thing to go full mainstream. Because when he had that TV show, the other thing for the connection personally to him, even though I haven't actually met him, but one of my friends has because he did two other projects prior to It Ends With Us. And one of them was a docuseries following people who have terminal illnesses. And he wanted to showcase their lives. And each episode was based on a different person. And one of my friends, their friend was one of the people that was the subject of the show. So she met him and she was like, he was the kindest person. He was so sweet. He was very adamant about wanting to honor her story and what her life was like up until the very end and making sure that her story lived on in a proper way. She goes, he was the sweetest man I've ever met. So when the first allegations came out of even harassment, she goes, that's not who I met. I don't believe it doesn't make sense. Which I don't know, from the stories that have come out that Blake was saying of the things that he kind of offhandedly said, it would have to be a sinister plot for him to have had all this groundwork of receipts of who he is to then behind closed doors go, I can say that, whatever. I'm a feminist, whatever. I can say that. I love my wife and throw it away like that. It doesn't match.
Sadly, the problem is we believe women, and yet it doesn't match up. It doesn't add up. And I have to say, from my experience in this industry, I watched many a project be taken over and kind of like ramrodded by someone in power, whether it be the studio, the network, the star attached, the actual showrunner, the person who wrote the book that the project's based on. And that's always like a huge concern. The truth is, for Smiling Faces, something that Victoria and I are constantly working towards is building the right kind of community to create this work. Because if you think about, and I want you all to do this, if you think about your favorite show, and a lot of people say The Office or Game of Thrones or The Sopranos, some sort
Golden
of show
Girls.
That has had Golden Girls.
May I?
Oh! For those of you who are listening and not watching, although we'll definitely have to share this, Victoria is wearing a Squad Goals t-shirt with the faces of the Golden Girls on it. Gorgeous!
I love that show so much. But yes, continue.
So if you think about your very favorite show, the entire process of making a show is every single day is... it's a bit painful, no matter how good of a show it is. And what makes a show fantastic, truly, from not just from content, but from every step of the journey, is when there is somebody at the helm driving with compassion and sanity and right. Mindfulness of what we're actually doing here, which is we're not cutting people open and making hearts work. We are creating a piece of work that ideally will probably influence things. You think about Grey's Anatomy, that show has had huge influence on the entire country, and I would even venture to say the world, just based on its content. However, when those shows are that good and they have that big long run, it's because the person at the helm runs it from a human perspective. That is something that I've witnessed.
Fair. And there is something to be said too, I think, where it probably got tricky for him. Not only the fact that this was his first major directorial thing, but there's in any kind of filmmaking or TV making, anything like that, there's so much collaboration that has to happen. So you do need that one singular vision that's kind of driving the boat for everyone. But under that umbrella of we're all the heads of our fields of each department working together to make the best of this specific vision, if other people start subverting that, we're trying to take over control, it really does shift the energy and messes everything up. Like, there's a fine line between collaboration and giving away control, especially creative control. And I think because he was new to it and because he has this affinity for wanting to hear women, respect women, hear them out, and she used a lot of strife in past experiences of how she wasn't heard before, I think he wanted to cater to that too. And so then that was kind of the tool to get in there and take over a lot more than should have been contractually allowed.
Yeah, the whole thing ended up being poisoned. And that's how it gets poisoned, is when one person starts pushing an agenda instead mm-hmm. of honoring the art and the work. And
because that had a very specific work. That movie was a very specific message that he wanted to get across, which he said two things. One was he wanted anybody who was a Lily Bloom, Blake's character out there, to feel seen and know that they maybe could make a different choice for themselves. But the second one he said was when the author said, I would like you to play Ryle, or if you consider playing Ryle, the character who is abusive, he decided to do it because he had the thought of, if I can humanize his character a little bit and make some of these men that act this way see themselves, then they can realize, oh no, this is how I'm hurting the people I love. So he goes, really, the movie is, yes, it's for women that are in those situations, but it's also if there's a man that perpetrates that. He was trying to do reverse psychology. Like, he had a very clear reason. And all of the projects that Wayfair wants to do said they want to do work that's driven by a message of healing the world and fixing big social problems. How do you not love him?
I really am trying to stay balanced about this because I really do want to believe women, and enough women have been damaged in this industry that there's almost no reason not to believe them at all. This one's tough and it's messy, but interestingly enough, the content of this film, and if you haven't seen It Ends With Us, written by Colleen Hoover. I read the book and then I also saw the movie. I did. I recommend the heck out of it. It's a beautiful book. The movie was also beautiful. And it's interesting that it's also reflecting now, it's reflecting a parallel because it's such a messy relationship between the two of them. And things got really messy and complicated. And now, like, they're living it out in their real life. Maybe that's not about domestic abuse, but it's also, it's about some form of abuse.
Yeah. Now, interesting, because I mean, I didn't read the book, but I actually had a different experience with the movie where it felt, I don't know if this was because I remember reading something about this was Blake's cut or something. I felt like tonally, it felt like two different movies. I don't know if that was intentional because of trying to see the difference in how she saw him initially, and then it switches to be darker. But it felt jarring to me to have it so lovey-dovey, over-the-top, happy-go-lucky rom-com at the top and then switch so hard. Like, I thought maybe those colors should have grayed a little bit more.
Interesting.
It felt very like happy, colorful. And then it was like, look at this.
I want you to read the book. I would love to see what you think after you read the book. Okay. I actually, the truth is, and I don't want to speak for all relationships that have an element of abuse, but oftentimes if someone, I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it. It might be risky. If someone...
We can always edit it out if it's too much.
Thank you.
And by that, I mean, Mike can edit that out if it's too much. Mike's like, the hell you can?
Here's my perspective.
It's to protect you guys from yourselves. That's... It's kind of like I'm like Nanny from Muppet Babies. I have to protect.
Ooh, get your stockings on. Let's get it.
I have to tell you, thank God. Oftentimes there's a gut check because it can be very revealing to sit here and talk about real experiences here and talk about my own life out here on the podcast. And yet that is what this whole community is about, is sharing the real story, the pain, the heartache, the ugliness, and the beauty and the joy. Like, we have a lot of joy when we are recording together. However, sharing that and being open and honest about it is about creating the community that we're trying to create here, because this is a space where people can talk about all the ugliness that has been done to them by other people in the ugliest, most rage-filled. We talk about revenge here, like go hard. So my controversial piece of rhetoric that I can potentially, as you can tell, I'm a little nervous to say it. The truth
I can
is,
tell. I was like, I don't think I can get any closer to the mic to be like, say it.
Are you
say
it?
When you feel as big of feelings as someone needs to feel to cause harm to another person in the form of verbal, emotional, or physical abuse, the opposite is also true. And that lovey-dovey, love-bombing, hot, sexy, passionate, rom-y-commy feeling is an experience that a lot of people in domestic abuse have experienced. When I met my ex, it was a big Disney fairy tale, and my marriage ended due to verbal and emotional abuse. Not domestic. He was not physically violent, but he definitely was full of love and joy and passion and romance. And we had a very gorgeous relationship in the beginning that people were delighted and happy for us because there was so much love between us. And yet that kind of love, when it's that powerful, it can flip. When you have that big of feelings, it can flip too far to the other side. And I think that's really important to keep in mind. It doesn't have to be that way. I'm not drawing a line in the sand and saying that's how it always is. However, watching this movie, I did not get that sense, because I felt a lot of that when I was going through my own relationship, of that big passionate love in the beginning that felt almost unreal and fairy tale like. And then at the end being like, who is this human? Like, how is this?
See,
same man, same level
don't...
of passion.
Right. Yeah. I was like, which I think maybe now, I think from conditioning, my spidey sense goes up when I get too much of the love bombing and the deep passion like that, especially too early on, because it usually happens where people do it and they either one can't sustain it, because that is, it's a lot. But usually there's a reason that they're doing all that, and it's to get you on their side early on so that when other things happen, like, I don't know if they're thinking it intentionally, but I think it's almost a subconscious thing of, I'm treating this person really well and I want to show them how much I care, quote unquote, for them. But I think it is to draw an attachment because they love the attention that they're getting from that person when they treat them well. But when they, I don't know, lose their top or whatever happens and they snap on them or harm them emotionally, physically, whatever, then they at least have that other tool in their toolbox to get them back. So it's a seesaw of things. But I think that being that kind to someone is a tool, and which is why I typically don't trust it. And I've typically been right. Actually, no, every time I've sensed it, I've been right.
Well, you do have a delightful spidey sense about those sorts of things. Victoria, much like how Mike keeps us from harming ourselves, Victoria is constantly on the lookout for me, being like, not that man, not that man. Mm-mm, you're wasting
constantly.
Your time.
Oh, no.
We look out for each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I fight. Well, one, because I think now from all the different, because I haven't had a lot of boyfriends, but I've dated. And when I date, it can read as pessimistic, but I think it's just keeping the ancestors with me, where I'm like, keep an eye on this one the whole time. that we're talking, because I just want to make sure. And if I ever see anything crazy, I won't vocalize it immediately unless it's something egregious. I'm like, hey, we would need to nip this now. But I do put in the old filing cabinet. And if too many things, that file gets too full, now we got to talk about it. So same thing where if I see or hear too much for any of my friends, I'm like, now this is about the third time you've done told me that this man has done X, Y, and Z. Now we got to address it. Why is he here?
Victoria's got her auntie voice on.
Victoria, I swear. Have to. I'm like, now, baby, you done told me about this man too many times and not in a happy, lovey-dovey way. You get real upset. Let's talk about it. Is he bringing you joy? Does this spark joy?
Thank you, Marie Kondo. Thank you, Marie Kondo. Does this man spark joy or does this woman spark joy?
Right. Yep. And if you don't get an immediate yes or something, that's a problem. Because they should be, not like you need to rely on someone to make you happy, but they should be an asset to your life, not deteriorating your joy. It should be a yes and with this person. And if they're not bringing that, then what? State your purpose. You're making my life hell. Why? Why are you here?
I got a lot of beautiful people. I'm looking at two beautiful people right now in my life.
I got friends. I got family. I have goals and dreams and hobbies. Why are you over here dragging me down? I got to wonder how this one feels about me. I got to question what's happening. You make me unsure of myself. I love me. How dare you?
I love me. How dare you?
That's crazy.
I love you too. I love you too, girl. How dare they? How dare they?
I have a question. So you guys are on whatever his name is. I'm going to state this. I'm going to ask this question because based off the things that you've said about it, because I real talk, I could care less about this whole situation. In my
opinion. Oh, but the Baldonian lively of it all?
Yeah, like I don't care about that. But
every frame of information, I'm in it.
But that's what I'm saying. But I am asking because you guys are like on his side, right? You guys have a problem with Blake, which is a rare thing to see, right? Because I've said some things like, I've had this conversation with Lucy. I'm like, what if she's wrong? What if she's just making it up? Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about this situation. I'm talking about other situations. What if she's wrong? What, like, there have been a few situations like Aziz Ansari, right? Mm-hmm. This woman accused him of something. She lied about it, right? And then we have guys like Jonathan Majors, where the story is very murky. And so I often go, well, details and context matter. And so sometimes you can't just do the thing and expect it to do, because there are dudes who are actually, if someone came to you and said, I did something, you would find it very hard to believe, correct?
If they're telling me that they did it, then I'm going to go, oh shit, that's not the way I saw you. So I think, if I don't have that perspective of them or that experience with them, it would be hard. But if they're also saying, hey, I did this, I'll be like, wait a minute. But I also have a very short fuse for dudes, to be honest. So if you tell me I tripped an old lady, I'm like, that tracks. But
because if someone accuses me,
I have something for this.
I would be suspicious of that. If somebody was like, Mike did blah, blah, blah to me, I'll go,
here's the thing.
Interesting. Let me talk to Mike.
Yeah.
Here's my take. I can help you here. I can help you here, because the reason why we believe women, and the statement is we believe women, period. And the reason why is because, one, women have not had a safe space to come forward and speak up. And the other reason why we believe women is because I would venture to say 99.99999% of the time, it is true. It did happen. And I'll tell you this, the whole Aziz Ansari thing, I feel for him. I do. Yes, I feel for him. However,
because was it proven that she lied? I thought it was like a miscommunication of they weren't reading each other's nonverbal cues during the hookup,
I have an answer.
I think it was a miscommunication.
Right.
Here's the deal. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it was a miscommunication. It doesn't matter if she lied. It doesn't matter if she made it up. It doesn't matter. None of that matters, because what the problem is, the core problem, is that my mother, your mother, all daughters' mothers teach them to keep themselves safe. Hold your keys in your hand when you're walking to the car because somebody's going to rape and kill you. Make sure that you don't walk around at night in the middle of the night by yourself because somebody's going to rape and kill you. Keep the curtains drawn at night. Make sure that nobody's peeping. Don't be putting sexy pictures of yourself on the internet because somebody's going to stalk you, rape you, and kill you. That message has been pounded into daughters from their mothers for centuries, quite frankly. And what is coming through and churning and turning around is men need to learn to protect themselves. Men need to learn to have consent and respect. The problem isn't that it's murky and gray because Aziz Ansari and this gal, she may or may not.
What I'm saying is that it does matter if someone lies. And because I'm a guy who believes in what's right and what's wrong, it matters if someone lies to me. So like, if someone is going to accuse me of something that I know, and as a Black person, right, who gets accused for things all the time, and I know I didn't do it, how do you sort that out? Because you can't just throw the baby out with the bathwater, which is why I find this Justin Baldini thing with you two funny.
Don't
because you believe him.
It's not a belief thing. It's that this man is educated enough to understand how to be respectful towards women. And therefore, I'm going to say this. I'm not 100% Team Baldoni. I'll say this right now. What is going on? Victoria's like black and white.
That's what I'm saying.
Here's the thing. I'm not because we have arrived at this situation. We've arrived here, which means that somebody on both sides misbehaved. Something happened. Lines were crossed. Respect was not paid appropriately. And I'll tell you something else. I believe that Blake Lively does truly believe that these things that happened to her were inappropriate or inappropriate, or like, basically, I believe that she believes that he did sexually harass her or didn't keep a safe space on set. She believes that, which in a way means that that is the case. And he did not put parameters in place to protect himself, which is, it's not about who's right or wrong. It's
feelings
not about that. It's
facts,
about
though.
Correct. However, it kind of is because of what Mike's saying. If somebody comes by and just blatantly all out lies, if they're just blatantly lying, somewhere along the line, some feelings happened to cause that. And whether it was a feeling of insecurity or safety or whatnot, I mean, Blake Lively is not pure evil.
I have a situation. Oh, okay. I was working on a show. Jess, we were working on the same show. I got accused for something that I absolutely did not do.
Correct.
By one of the
I know what you're talking about.
That one of the actresses, right? Mm-hmm. I absolutely did not do what she said I did.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so the thing is if it had been someone else, how serious would that situation have been taken? Because of her feelings, not what actually happened. Her feelings.
Right. Wait, if you're talking about if what had been someone else, because basically the story
is
this woman.
If you weren't you and you didn't know who I was before outside of this job situation, someone else would have taken her serious. And I would have lost my job that day.
I'm going to say this about that actress. That actress has a roadmap of inaccuracies that she had laid out for months before you came along, in which everyone knew where to stand when they heard her accusation towards you, which basically what happened is this woman, this actress accused Mike of staring at her.
Making her
right?
uncomfortable, yeah, and staring at her.
Making her uncomfortable. And it was all absolutely, she was pulling a diva move as young actress. She's very young. She's a young actress. She was pulling a diva move as was taught to her through the industry. She was having somebody removed from the room because that makes her look like she has power. Again, like, here we are. This is a different kind of thing going on. You
Which
know?
I think this is why it proves that, honestly, I know we have the statement of believe women because historically they're not. And because historically things typically do happen. But it does need to be a case-by-case basis too. Like, I think we have to be objective with doing that. For one, that exact reason. Like, we knew, like, we know that actress and we also know Mike. So it's like, we understood. Mm-hmm. As soon as that was said, I apologized to Mike. I was like, I'm sorry. This is crazy. Let's find something else or find you somewhere else on the set to do stuff. So like, I think it's that. But then also, I don't know how deep it goes with the Lively Baldoni of it all, but there are rumors of, like, there's a clause. Well, this isn't a rumor. It's a fact. There's a clause in Baldoni's contract where, because he has the rights for all the subsequent books. So if there are going to be sequels, then he has the rights to all those too. But the way that he could lose those rights is if there's a morality clause in there. And for some reason, if he's accused of something, then all of a sudden those go away. He bought the rights to that book when it wasn't on the rise that it has now. And I think, I'm just speculating, me and TikTok are all speculating, that...
TikTok detective you are, huh?
TikTok detective and I, we've been speculating that Colleen wanted the rights to her, like, and more money for her books now, because now it's this huge success. She only got X amount that wasn't as great because she sold the rights when it wasn't as popular.
Bad deal. And she made a bad
Blake,
deal.
Yeah. And then Blake even says something, like, there's interviews of them talking together and Blake saying something about, someone asked them a question of whether they're going to make more movies. And Blake says, if Colleen has the rights, I'll follow her anywhere.
Woo! Dirty, dirty business. Look, and at the very top, we do know, like, the people with the money can be dirty. Mm-hmm. I like living down here in the dirt. I and like a being lot down here that. Where the real dirt is.
That's the other thing that this has shown a lot is, one, I mean, we know because we've worked in the industry. There's a lot of those type of people that just like to sling their dick around and pull their weight and their star power and get stuff done or take advantage of things. And it's kind of coming to light, but I think it's also doing something interesting, which is burst the bubble on what the image a star creates for themselves and how that's all kind of crumbling. Because now people are turning not only on Blake, but on Ryan Reynolds now too. Like, their whole facade is crumbling.
The whole thing that we are learning through social media in general is, yeah, social media, you can really paint a picture and like have kind of an entire false life on social media. However, eventually, the more people who know what's going on with you and who you are, mm-hmm. it's going to come to light. You can't lie. I think in a year from now, we're going to uncover quite a few things. You can't lie. You can't be a monster without people knowing it. Now, what I think we're facing that's problematic.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What we're finding is so unbelievably problematic is that there are a lot of monsters that people know are monsters and are yet still allowed to roam free and behave in their monster-like behavior.
Correct.
Which I think is an excellent segue into our smiling faces.
It gets a little, too, real. Gets a little too hot in the pan.
It's a little hot in here.
Today's issues is a little too warm for you.
Right. All of a sudden, we're talking about something real and Jess trying to be like, let's shut it down.
Listen to women, Jess. I'm listening to women. This is how loud I'm listening to women because the message is this. The message is, men, we do care about you. You better protect yourself. You better make sure you have unadulterated sexy consent, 100% for all actions, including catcalling me from a car, grabbing at me, telling me that I look so much better because I've lost weight. It's not your business. Ask permission to talk that way to or about me. Ask permission to touch me. Ask permission to engage with me. I promise you, those of you out there who are hearing these words and thinking, that's not sexy. Let me tell you something about consent. Consent is the sexiest thing because I think I talked about this on the last podcast. When people are witnessing authenticity and they're engaged in authenticity from another person, it's a deeper, more powerful feeling than that of love. That's how rare and special and precious it is. So...
Fair. I will add to that. Very mm-hmm. fair. I will add to that there definitely was a dude. Oh, Hoops. when I hooked up with Hoops.
Hoops, who, by Hoops the way, she took
was very
every
consensual.
Letter. She,
who the hell is Hoops? I don't know no Hoops.
She took every letter away from him. This is like a whole thing where you put his name in your phone if he behaves well enough, and every time he misbehaves, you take a letter away. He became Ho by the end of it.
I hangmanned him within like 2 weeks. Like, he was gone so quickly. But I always do nicknames because, again, mm-hmm. you have to earn your real name in my phone. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I will say, when we hooked up, he was double checking throughout the entire thing. He like, his hand would hover. It was almost like he was doing spiritual healing. His hand hovered and would go, "Is this okay?" The entire time was like, "Proceed." It was perfect. Like,
it's
that's
so hot.
How it should be.
It's so hot. It's so hot. Consent is so freaking sexy. And I say that across the board. I think that even to the level of like having a deep conversation, there can be a moment of like, are you comfortable with us having this conversation? Are you comfortable with us talking about this? There's something so beautiful about extending the grace to someone to say no in a time where we're all kind of riddled with a struggle with boundaries, especially due to social media and access to everybody and everything.
And knowing that you can say no without getting any backlash, because I think that's the other big one. I tried to explain that to one of my guy friends because I told him how sometimes if someone hits on me, instead of me saying no, thank you or whatever, I either say I have a boyfriend or I just give my number and don't pick up ever. And he was like, why don't you just tell them? I went, because that's how you get killed. And he was like, oh,
it's not safe.
He didn't
it's
realize.
It's not a safe world.
No, he did not realize. He was like, but then he's going to think whatever. And like, he was only seeing it from his lens because he doesn't act that way. So I was like, just know you're the exception, not the rule.
I think that's
they don't
the
always
thing for
take. Yeah. They don't always take a, oh, okay, shucks, on to the next one. They're like, well, you weren't fine anyway. I've had dimes. I've actually had that happen to me before where I told
that's
a guy,
funny.
Oh, no, thank you. And he was like, you ain't bad anyway. He's like, I got dimes in my phone. You ain't even that cute. And I was like, you literally wanted to take me out 2 seconds ago.
I've seen it happen several times in the reverse.
Mm,
where a girl
really?
Is being, yeah, a female is being real aggressive. And one of my friends was like, hey, no, I'm good. And they were like, you ain't all that anyway. And I'm like, why was that necessary, ma'am?
Right. It's like, you need to degrade me just because you clearly said, wanted this.
He said he had a girlfriend. Like, what?
Right. Which is... truth is, this podcast is, even though we have a strong message about women empowerment and such, this podcast is not about men being wrong. This podcast is about helping create a safer space for everyone. Just like what Mike's saying, women do it too. Now, I'll say something that Victoria likes to say. A man like that, who's like, I got dimes, I got, you know, you ate all that special. That's not your king. That's not anybody's king, because that man is not a king, as Victoria likes to say. There's
a
no
jester.
Kingly behavior in that man. Yes, Mike is a king.
Ayo.
I have a dear friend. Yeah. That's why Mike's like, wait a minute. Let's have a guy. Let's like
Listen,
balance
I'm
the skills here.
I'm just too old for the shenanigans, bro. I'm just too old for it. Like,
you also have a full-blown wife.
I do have a full-blown wife, but I will tell you this. I had a wrestling podcast back in the day, and the guys that I was on with, we all had wives. And I think the question came up about cheating. And me and this other guy were like, yeah, man, we're too lazy to cheat. I was like, we got to fight traffic. I got to put clothes on. I got to make sure I'm smelling good. I'd just rather sit on my couch and eat a pizza. I don't need to go cheat. Like, I'm good. I'd rather go sit here and play some video games or something. Like, I don't need to put gas in my car, come up with some weird lie as to why I went out. I don't need that problem in my life.
So overachievers.
Why? What's the point? Just go home and play some video games, eat a pizza. You'll be much happier that way. I promise.
That's real. I love that. I think that's a fair. Yeah.
I also love my wife, but.
Right. Yes.
You know what?
That in at the last minute.
Yeah,
cheating. I'm too lazy, but
clarify.
Also, I love her down.
I love her down. I love my wife, but I'm also too lazy to cheat.
I'm going to point this out. Yeah, lazy is only a word used when priorities are askew. And the truth is, when somebody's like, ah, that's too much work, it's like, no, it's not. Laziness is, it's just not a priority. It's not a priority because my priorities are focused on kindness and respect for the person that I chose every day of my life. My priorities are focused on taking care of myself, getting some rest and relaxation, playing video games and eating a pizza. My priorities are not on trying to fill some dark hole in my soul and some deep-seated insecurity by sleeping with somebody else and hurting the people around me because I hurt so much. Laziness is just like, it's not a priority. And I know somebody who used to say that all the time. I'm too lazy to cheat. And I said, no. You have the kind of confidence and security in yourself to understand that cheating is not a priority. Cheating is a damaging behavior that only hurts the person who's doing it, you know? So
fair. You know what? I will take that any day.
That's why you're a king. That's why you're a king. That's why we spend every single week hanging with you. And speaking of weeks, we've come to my very favorite segment of the podcast, which is your smiling faces moment. And I want to know from the king himself, producer Mike, what is your smiling faces moment this week? What have you grinned and bared it through this week?
You heard it when the phone rang. Bills, last name collector. That is what I've grinned and bared through this week. I don't know if people notice, LA is expensive. And right now the whole world is expensive. Groceries are like $300. It's crazy out here in these streets. So bills is what I'm trying to grin and bear through this week. So take care of yourself, people out there.
You're doing a great job of it. Look at that grin.
Right?
Look at the smile on his face.
And a dimple.
Look at that beautiful
Come on
face.
Now.
And a dimple. Not a dimple for us, Mike. You'll make us blush.
Y'all need to stop it right now. I am married.
Felt that deep.
Then bring your wife around so I can hit on her too.
You can't have her either.
Let me ask her. Let me find out what she says about that.
You know what? She is asleep right now, taking a nap.
Convenient. Ooh. How convenient. She can't answer for herself. Not you answering for her.
Or is she secretly texting me all sorts of sexy things?
She better not.
Ooh, share your screen.
She better not.
Cheating. Cheating can be emotional. Cheating can be in a friendly way. Cheating can be all sorts of things.
Wow.
Mike's wife is texting me on the side being like, calm down. That's what she's really saying.
My favorite is if Jess is doing all this and Lucy just goes, who is this?
No.
It breaks my heart. She knows who I am because I'm the woman who's bringing her some exclusive collector Wicked paraphernalia.
Yeah. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah. We're on that short list, baby.
It's all toys. Right. See, this is why I'll never cheat because I'm like, Jesse's bringing me toys. I'm good.
Right.
She's bringing me action figures. I'm good. I don't need to do anything else. She'd be like, if you're going to take this action figure, you better not cheat. Done.
You're like, say less.
That's exactly.
My dick is in my undies.
That is right. Lockdown.
I bribe my friends with collector's items so that they behave. I just, you want it? You want a 1954 collector's action figure of Batman?
I just eat it up. I'm like, yes, please, give it to me.
That's your OnlyFans account is just groveling for vintage toys.
I'll do foot stuff, I swear.
Love it.
Victoria, what is your smiling faces moment for this week?
My smiling faces moment is I say joined. I've gone to one session total of a run club called Keep It Run 100. And it actually went well. I went by myself. I ended up meeting a girl there who also was getting back into running. And they had a walk group. And we're like, okay, we'll try this. We started a little walk and then we're like, should we, dare I say, run. And so we like ran for a majority of the time, like a good amount. We did a good give and take. My heart thought it was going to bust directly out of its chest. But
yeah,
I made it through. And I was very proud. And we had like a nice little healing moment at the end. So I grinned and bared it through running in public after years of not running in public. And I didn't die.
What happened to Mother Russia?
Oh, Turkey. And
sorry.
I was like, you get the right country for my husband. I haven't seen him. I've been going consistently to the Pilates studio. I did see that he signed up for a class today, but it was in the middle of the day, so I couldn't go. So we're just going to keep checking his schedule and see if I can happen upon him.
I'm going to need you to learn some Olympic lifting so you can show him that you're actually sturdy.
I will. I promise. Yeah, yeah. I will lift up the Megaformer machine over my head and go, will this cut it?
am I sturdy enough for you now?
I think that'll take.
Are you not satisfied? Right?
She is sturdy. She is.
I want a June wedding. That's all.
Well,
peonies.
Purple. Lavender.
Lavender peonies everywhere.
I have to say that ties beautifully in with my smiling faces moment because you have to keep being my friend after I tell you this, but I have joined a CrossFit gym.
Oh, you're that person now. Get it. Oh.
And I have not stopped talking about CrossFit. And I'll tell you what, I have been weightlifting for 3 years. But very seriously weightlifting for 3 years. Anyone who knows me, I don't stop talking about it. And I joined the CrossFit gym to next level my weightlifting because they offer Olympic weightlifting because I need a man who needs a sturdy woman. So I need somebody to show that I am sturdy. And I'll tell you my smiling faces moment this week. I walked into the gym. The very first class was a strength training class, and the broiest bro dude of all bro dudes, the champion of bros, two hoodies, doubled up, zipped up hoodies, doubled, pulled over his head. That's how bro-y he was. Hands in pocket, you know, walks over to me and says, he's the coach. And he's like, have you ever worked with barbells before? I was like, yeah, I've worked with barbells. He's like, great. Let me explain to you how to use a barbell. Mansplained weightlifting to me for the next hour and a half. Took me through.
Why does dude sound like Prince from the Dave Chappelle's, right? You guys want to play some basketball? You guys want some pancakes? That's what it sounds like.
Blouses versus skins versus blouses.
You and your cronies against me and the revolution. Like,
that's the vibes. That's the vibes. He mansplained weightlifting to me. He taught me how to deadlift. I already knew, but he was very proud to show me and take me down the beginning of my fitness and weight loss journey. I was like,
did you just have sex with him in the bathroom with all this riz that he's dropping on you? That's what the kids say, riz, by the way.
You know I did. I was like, wow,
take off only one of those hoodies and let me see what you're working with.
He starts to unzip them.
Two hoodies. Let me unzip one on here.
Also, I missed the memo. I remember the double collar pop from the early 2000s. I never knew of the double hoodie.
Listen, I have no idea. It was the broiest bro of all bros. I will say, I did go to his second class with him as the coach. And redeemably, he saw me lifting and said, oh, Jess, we got to add way more weight to that. I'm like, correct. I've been doing this for a while. And he was like, I can tell you have fast snatch. I was like, I'm sorry, what?
You're like, you damn right I do. I got the fastest snatch in all the land.
Don't take off both hoodies. Leave one on. Let's go to the bathroom, sir.
You want some pancakes with this snatch?
You want that fast snatch? You meet me.
I can't wait till Jerk and Clean comes through. Like, you learn the Jerk and Clean, then what happens then?
Learn it. He mansplained it to me on day one. Oh, thank God, too. Listen, if you have a fast snatch, you ought to come follow us on our social medias. You can find us on Instagram at smilingfaces_series. You can find us on TikTok at smilingfaces_series. You can find us on Facebook at smilingfaces_series. No underscore, still a fast snatch. And you can find us at YouTube, www.youtube.com/@@smilingfaces_series.
We also have a website. Check out www.smilingfacesseries.com. Shout out to our fiscal sponsor, Inclusivity Media. And of course, producer Mike Bryant and Defiantly Me Productions.
We air horn for the king of men who represents quality men everywhere. And we know it's not all men. We know you kings are out there. Or is it all men? And that excludes kings. I'll leave you with that.
Wow.
It is all men. It's not kings. Kings, we hear you. We see you. We miss you. We love you.
Show yourself.